welcome, everyone, and hope you can all hear me okay. This is Will Tuttle, and I'm just delighted to be able to conduct our third Thursday World Peace Diet Circle call from New Zealand. And it took a little bit of technical doing here to make it happen. And if there are any questions or problems, I guess send me an email, willtuttle@earthlink.net is probably the easiest way, or just press *6, as you think you all know. *6 is the if you'd like to be unmuted and raise your hand, and then I can unmute you. I'd like to jump right in here, and of course, what we just heard in the beginning was something I played for the first time last week. I thought it was last month. I thought it was kind of provocative. The sound of crickets that have been slowed down relative to their lifespan compared to a human lifespan, and it sounds when it's engineered in that way that they're praising the universe or something. Very nice. Anyway, hope you can hear me okay. And as we begin our time, let's just take a moment, as we like to do in the very beginning, and just feel our connection with the earth, wherever we happen to be, however possible that is. Here, for me, in the middle of the Pacific Ocean here in New Zealand, in Wellington, New Zealand, where we just flew in this morning here from Christchurch. And let's just feel our connection with the earth, with heaven, with the infinite beauty and love of the universe and of this earth, and know that we're part of a beautiful celebration of life, that the animals and humans are intended to live in harmony together, that all beings are actually equal expressions of infinite love. So we give thanks for all the human beings who are helping us to bring more compassion and awareness and mindfulness and sensitivity and compassion into our world. The other activists who are working in their many ways, and the many people who are doing spiritual work and prayer work on behalf of other animals and other human beings. We give thanks also, just knowing that our being together here on this call will be to send out and deepen wisdom, joy, and freedom and healing on this planet, and that we are all part of an awakening on this earth of human consciousness. And so it is. And we give thanks for this. So I'm, as I said, this has been a call that I've been a little bit preoccupied with just because it's so different, and we're traveling in a whirlwind tour right now. I just gave an interview after we got picked up from the airport and had to transfer all of our luggage somewhere else, and I did an interview with a fellow from the local newspaper here in Wellington. And then right after this is over, we'll be heading over to the hall. It's actually Friday today. It's Friday at 3 o'clock in the afternoon, so we're one day ahead of you. I don't know how that works, but that's what it is. And I know it's Thursday, 9 p.m. Eastern, and 6 p.m. California, and so forth. And the basic idea here, and for me, at least in the beginning of the call, is I'd love to just share with everybody some of the insights that have been coming to me, and I think and to Madeline also, regarding our movement, the Movement for Animal Liberation, and for compassion for animals and humans, and justice for animals and humans. And the tour has gone really well, and I've been on the road now for about exactly a month, pretty much. I left a month ago from Northern California, from San Francisco, and flew to Taiwan. And I actually have to say I was unprepared for the reception I was going to be receiving in Taiwan as a vegan activist. I found myself absolutely swamped with loving and supportive people there. I think it was almost like a perfect storm of coincidences, and not just coincidences, but fortuitous circumstances that all came together to make this happen. And I won't go into all the details because it's a long story. But I think it is very instructional, actually, I think in terms of our movement. And the World Peace Diet, as you know, is focusing not only on veganism, but specifically on the spiritual dimension of veganism and ahimsa, and also the cultural and environmental effects of and other ramifications of our routine mistreatment of animals for food. And Taiwan is apparently just uniquely positioned for a variety of reasons to really not only resonate with this message, but also propagate it, want to really get it out to people. So from the moment I was picked up at the airport, I mean, I wish I'd had a video. You know, I got off, I finally came through customs and all that and came out, and there was this whole huge delegation of people there with this big banner, World Peace Diet, you know, welcoming Will Tuttle, and this big banner they had, and all these people there, and somebody did videotape the whole thing. They had a videographer there with them, you know, followed me around the entire 5 days, I guess it was, that I was in Taiwan, and just, you know, came and got me, and they were all very nice. So we were very enthusiastic, so glad, you know, that someone could come to their country to spread the vegan message, and so it just, you know, they gave me a really nice room, actually, in a hotel, which is not my favorite thing, to have a hotel. And in Australia and here in New Zealand, we're pretty much never staying in hotels. We're staying in people's bedrooms, spare bedrooms and so forth. But it was good, actually, I think, in this case. It gave me a little bit of breathing room. And they had created a really intense schedule. But the schedule for lectures and press conferences and meetings with people, but basically, to sum it up in a short time, I sort of dove in. They after that night, I got in at 10 or 11 o'clock at night. So the next morning, they asked me to sign, I think it was about 200 books. So I had boxes of books in my room. I had to sign them all. And these are all books that are in Taiwanese Chinese language. So that's, I think, that explains in many ways why the lectures reached so many people. The reason they reached so many people came. I had 1,800 people come to a lecture in Taichung, and 2,200 people come to the lecture in Taipei. And, you know, how do you get that number of people to come usually we're lucky if we have 100 or 200 people come typically to a lecture on veganism in the United States, and almost anybody. And so the reason is, I think, is that my book, The World Peace Diet, was translated into Chinese, the traditional Chinese, which is not used on the mainland. And it was translated, and not only translated, about 2 years ago, I guess, two or three years ago. It's been a while. And not only was it translated, but it was also very well, I think, promoted. And so I noticed every once in a while someone from Taiwan would send me a clip, and I couldn't understand it because I don't speak Chinese, but they would have someone on television holding up the World Peace Diet, talking about it. They were selling the World Peace Diet in bookstores. There was some promotion of the book going on. So I think a lot of people had read the book, basically, before I got there, and were telling their friends. And so that was one reason, that just the fact that the book had been published. Because in Australia and New Zealand, it's really hard to get the World Peace Diet. Not many people have read it because Lantern Books, my publisher, does not have printing presses down in Australia and New Zealand. And so it's just very difficult to be able to buy it. It's expensive with shipping and all that kind of stuff. So people had bought the book. And then also there are several large Buddhist organizations in Taiwan, because it's basically a Buddhist country, and these Buddhist organizations, one of them is a woman whose name is Master Heng Yen. She has, I think, something like 6 or 7 million followers around the world, but they have quite a few large buildings there. They have a national television station. They have hospitals that they run. Their hospitals are vegetarian, and so the people who are actually setting up my whole event there, my tour there, We're with a group that's called Meat Free Monday Taiwan. And they're basically just trying to promote meat-free Mondays in the schools. And they've had enormous success in doing that. They have 93% of all the schools in Taiwan now, the public schools in Taiwan, do have a meat-free Monday or one day a week. Sometimes it's meat-free Wednesday. Some of the schools are now going to 2 days a week meat-free. So this is so they're the ones that are most closely affiliated with the publishers of the book, which is a publishing company. I can't remember the name of them. White Lotus, or I can't remember. Anyway, whatever. It's a publisher in Taiwan. And they said that they would take care of it. And apparently they told me later that they approached this Master Heng Yan to see if she would be willing to promote the lecture tour that I'm doing. And they helped a little bit, not a whole lot, but they did help some, and they actually had me on a national television program that they have, which has not aired yet. I went into their studio, huge, cavernous, beautiful television studio with a grand piano, and I did enough interview with the host there, and also played music to create 2-hour-long shows, which will be aired, I guess, sometime in the next few months. So they have not aired yet. They'll be coming out later. But then they also had me in on the last day, or second to last day, give a lecture to about 300 people in one of their vegetarian hospitals. So that was pretty much the extent of what they contributed, but that was good. I did that with them. There was another, that's the second largest Buddhist group in Taiwan, and all the monks and nuns in their movement, of which there are many, hundreds, are all vegan. And the lay people are encouraged to be vegetarian. And one thing I learned is that in the Chinese language, there is no such word as vegan. They do not have that word. You know, we have the word vegan in English. We have the word vegan in Italian and French and Spanish and in German. And, you know, all the European languages have the word vegan. You have, vegetarian and whatever that is in that particular language. That, I know German, for example, vegetarian. And then in German, for example, there's also vegan. They have the word vegan, which means vegan. And most of the languages, I thought all the languages kind of had that word, but in Chinese, they just don't do that. They don't borrow words. They don't take on other words like that. So there is no word for vegan. So that was part of the problem for me, is that most of the people, there's over 1,500 certified, registered vegetarian restaurants in Taiwan. And you got to remember, Taiwan is this little small island with only, it's got quite a few people. It's got 23 million people, but that's still not very many people. You can see when I realized that the entire continent of Australia, which is as large as the United States, also has 24 million, so it's 1 million more people. But in Taiwan, there's 23 million people. There's 1,500 vegetarian restaurants, but only of those, probably only between 5 and 10, not many, maybe the most, maybe 5 or 10 restaurants are actually strictly vegan restaurants that don't serve dairy or egg. So basically everybody, there's lots of people who call themselves vegetarian in Taiwan, but very, very few who are actually practicing veganism. The ones who are usually the Zen monks and nuns, or I guess people who are maybe have read the World Peace Diet, or also followers of Supreme Master Ching Hai. She's got quite a few followers over there, too. Those would be the only vegans, probably. So, anyway, it was good. There's a lot of vegetarian, and a funny thing was, when I was there, and they said that they don't eat that much dairy, but they do like ice cream, and they do eat some yogurt and cheese and this and that, and they get it all from New Zealand, primarily, and also Australia. Taiwan is too small to have any animal agriculture to speak of. They have some. They have some chickens and pigs, I guess, in the south, where there aren't so many people. But for the most part, they just grow their own vegetables and rice. There's a lot of farming, but it's mostly plants. So I think that is in their favor, too. But they don't have a big industry. Like in Australia and New Zealand, such a big industry of animal agriculture. That's what I'm always hearing is, what would we do? What would happen to the economy? And that kind of thing. Of course, in Taiwan, that's not an issue. The largest Buddhist organization is called Buddha's Light Mountain, Fo Guang Shan, and they've got probably about 10 million followers worldwide, and they have temples all over the world. And again, all of their monks and nuns are vegan, And so the Meat Free Monday people try to get them to help out, and they also did not really help out that much. They did some though. They did help a little bit. They had me do a lecture at one of their monasteries with some of the monks and nuns, and do a dialogue. And they had, I don't know, maybe 100 people there for that. And that kind of a thing. So, they let me know that they love veganism, they love the World Peace Diet, they totally support it. They like to have people go vegetarian, and they like them to go pure vegetarian, which is their word for vegan, is pure vegetarian. So I was very well treated. I have to say that everywhere I went, they were really treated me like I was a VIP. It was a little embarrassing sometimes, but it was like I was a movie star or something. And then in Taiwan, what they do is they always give it, the people, and a lot of these people are very highly respected in their society. A lot of them have PhDs, the presidents of universities, and very highly respected monks and nuns who are on TV and so forth. And they would meet me, and they would always give me their business card. That's the thing I realized when I'm in, I guess I remember that, hearing that somewhere in Asian countries. You just give your business card. That's the formality. And boy, I had a stack of business cards so thick. And I unfortunately did not bring too many of my own business cards. I had a few. But anyway, that was the formality. So it was fascinating to actually visit these Fo Guang Shan, some of these huge monasteries, and we actually ate a meal in the traditional style. It was all vegan with rice and vegetables and soup, with probably a few hundred monks and nuns and some lay people that were there too, all eating together in silence with chopsticks and spoon in the traditional way, like I did actually when I was a Zen monk in Korea. It was the same thing actually, exactly the same, very similar. The same tradition. So it was all vegan, and that was great to see. And so there was some help there. But then there's a third, there's another Buddhist organization called Li Zen. In English, it's the Bliss, it translates to the Bliss and Wisdom Cultural Foundation. And they run, and I just want to tell you briefly about them. They run a whole movement. They're based on Buddhism, primarily Tibetan Buddhism, actually. And it's kind of a grassroots movement, and they have centers in, all around Taiwan. It's founded by a Taiwanese Buddhist guy who's passed away now, but his disciples and so forth are running it. And what their big thing is not so much veganism as vegetarianism, but also organic. They're really into organic vegetarian. And so what they decided to do was to create a movement in Taiwan that would transform Taiwanese agriculture from commercial agriculture to organic agriculture. And they've been very, very successful. And I really wish we could learn from these people in all of these things. The religion has really helped spread the vegan message, also to spread the organic message, because part of the Buddhist teaching, the spiritual teaching really, I think that's universal, is of compassion to all life and compassion to animals and to ecosystems. And so what they ended up doing to spread organic agriculture in Taiwan was two things. Number one, they went to farmers who were commercial farmers, and they said, listen, we think it would be so much better if you would switch to organic. And they would say, well, there's no market for organic. And they said, we will guarantee whatever you produce, we will buy. And so that's what they did on one hand. And then on the other hand, they just basically started opening these natural food stores. And they just started with one or two and then three or four. And they created a whole PowerPoint presentation. It was really touching just for me, just for Dr. Will Tuttle, this whole PowerPoint presentation where they had the top people in their organization, the president and executive directors and all these people, vice presidents, and we all sat in this room, we watched this video, and they showed how they went to many of these different farmers who were farming vegetables and grains and so forth that were not organic, promised them that they would buy that whatever they created. Then they started a chain of health food stores and started just promoting and selling organic produce as being much better, more tasty, better for the environment. And they started with a few of these stores and just kept adding more and more and more, and then added more and more farmers. It started small, just with a couple of farmers and a couple of stores, And then they just kept building. And so now instead of just two or three stores and two or three farmers, they have 97 stores now, and they have hundreds of farmers that have all switched over to organic, and they can hardly keep up with the demand. They, in fact, just as I was leaving, they added three more stores. So they've got 100 stores now, and it's just growing all the time. And these, and they took me into some of these stores, and they're beautiful. They sell everything that's organic. They have organic food. They have organic dried goods. They have organic cosmetics. They have organic clothing. They have organic. Everything's organic, and they're just totally into organic. And so they really love the World Peace Diet, and they had contacts with a major university in Taipei and the major university in Taichung, and they were the ones that actually set up my lecture in those two universities and did the legwork and promotion of the lectures that resulted in me walking into these lecture halls with 2,000 people, you know, twice basically. And it was quite an experience because, you know, we would have these meetings with the, and they had, you know, my talks were introduced by very famous people in Taiwan. The former Minister of Education spoke about the importance of going vegan and so forth. And then they had an MC introduced him, and they introduced me. And we walked into these halls to applause. And, you know, it was just this huge amount of a heroic welcome to a vegan of a writer, you know. And it was just something I've never experienced before to see this level of just adoration, really, for the message. I felt more for the message than for me, you know, just this idea that veganism is so important. And we've got to stop global warming was a big thing they kept saying. We've got to stop all this violence, and we've got to be healthier. They understand all of it, really, I think, pretty well. So anyway, so I was able to do those two huge lectures, which went really well. At the end of both lectures, I received a standing ovation from the 2,000 people in each lecture. And I was able, both of them had these nice big grand pianos, so I could play some music, which they loved. I did the PowerPoint of the, me playing the music along with images of animals celebrating their lives in nature, which I think they really liked a lot, too. So it was just this, you know, just this wave of, it felt like, you know, I said it, I think, you know, Taiwan is emerging as the vegan beacon on this planet, the inspiration for the entire world, that if one country can embrace veganism and, teach it in their schools and encourage everyone to go vegan on such a mass scale, then it's an inspiration for every other country in the world to do the same thing. And I also found out that all four of the major daily newspapers and virtually all the smaller newspapers all covered this extensively. So everything I was saying and the basic in the events and so forth were actually read probably by millions of people. I mean, these all have readerships in the millions. So the message was then amplified throughout the entire country of Taiwan. So beyond just the 4,000 people that came to those two lectures. The other interesting event was set up, I think, also in Taipei, where I was in a press conference with the two very powerful political figures in Taiwan. One is the whip. Basically, he's the leader of the majority party in the Senate. And he's a vegetarian, and he really talked quite a bit about vegan. I mean, even though they don't have the word vegan, they say pure vegetarian, I guess. But he and I and a third person who was the former vice president, she was the unprecedented for two four-year terms was the vice president of Taiwan, who's also an activist and a vegetarian, very nice woman named Madame Liu. And so Mr. Lim, I think his name was Lim, and Madame Liu and myself, we all spoke about the importance of compassion for animals. We talked about ways that we can increase the people who are moving to a vegetarian diet. There were representatives from all the newspapers, and I don't know if all the newspapers, but from quite a few newspapers, as well as radio stations, television stations, who asked us questions. And we responded, and some of the things that we talked about were how we could have more education of people so that they would understand the importance of plant-based diets. We talked about the possibility of imposing a tax on meat and dairy products since they're so damaging to our health and to the environment and so forth, to and to reduce the consumption, to make it more expensive. I mean, it was so great to be with politicians that were actually talking about these things. I mean, I had to pinch myself sometimes, really, and and think that this is really happening. And so that's basically, I'm not going to talk anymore. That was basically the experience in Taiwan. It was enormously positive. That I had numerous wonderful interactions with people. I was swamped by people wanting their photograph with me constantly, signing books everywhere. I couldn't. They were always just pulling me away from the crowds to give me some space and all that. So the people were very considerate and kind and loving and enthusiastic. And I think it was because of my Buddhist background, the fact that I was a former Zen monk. I think it was because my book has been translated into that language and had been promoted quite a bit there. I think also the fact that these Buddhist organizations, as well as another one called Dharma Drum, as well as the fifth one, the Supreme Master Qinghai Association, all these, I think, were promoting it. So there was this real broad base of support. So I think there's a lot to be learned from all of that, and but I think the basic idea is that religion can be really helpful, and if we can just sort of keep working, I think there's a lot of what I did notice was that there was an enormous amount of work being done by these people. When they let me off, one guy, the main organizer from the Meat Free Monday Taiwan, said to me that he had gotten more than 4 hours of sleep a night for the prior, couple of months. I mean, he was working so hard, organizing and promoting and everything. So I think these people really worked hard, and there's no substitute, really, for just good old hard work and putting time in and networking, but actually making the effort. And I was very humbled by the amount of effort that these people made, and they pushed me really hard. I was continuously traveling and giving lectures, but I credited, I think, to a vegan diet that I was able to leap over all the obstacles of jet lag and staying in kind of toxic environments like I was in quite a bit in that hotel, and the food wasn't that great either that they were feeding me. It was vegan, but not really what I'm used to. And but anyway, I felt fine, the whole thing. And then flew into Perth, and I have to say, in Perth, Gypsy, in Australia in general, the beginning and the end were really big highlights. In the middle, too, was great with Carolyn Bailey. But, Gypsy Wolf, who is one of our most wonderful World Peace Diet facilitators, lives in Perth, which is in Western Australia. And she worked, I think, the same way. I mean, she was working just hours and hours and hours and hours really hard to promote and set up and so forth the events in Perth. So I landed in Perth, and it was kind of an extension of Taiwan in many ways. There was this wonderful, loving energy from the people. They had worked really hard to get a lot of people to come to the main Perth event, which we had over 300 people. It was sold out. The hall wouldn't fit more than 300 people. We had a video, professional videographer who took video of it. We had another event, which was the Healing Power of Music, which was very well attended, very enthusiastically attended by people. That was set up by Gypsy, who is a piano teacher, and just really wanted to bring in the spiritual and musical dimension of this, and also to go along with the veganism and spread the message that way. So that went really well. And then there was another event. Oh, my God, I wish I could somehow have gotten you to see this third event, which was really interesting. I spoke on Monday night there in Perth, at a place. It just reminded me of like being sent back to the 1970s when we had these wonderful hippie commune type meals where we'd get together and make huge pots really of vegan stew and vegetables and salads and potatoes and all these things, and we fed 200 people there. It's a regular, I guess, Monday evening event. It's sort of held outside in a garden where they repair bicycles and they grow vegetables. It's kind of like a cooperative place, but they have a Monday night where they feed everybody all you can eat for $10, which is really a bargain. And and if you only have $5, they'll accept that too. So there's all kinds of people there, and they set up, after everybody ate all this vegan food, they set up a thing with lights and a sound system, and I probably talked for a good hour and a half to those people. There were a lot of Aboriginal people, a lot of very interesting people there, a whole different type of crowd. And it was wonderful. It was so great, and just to be able to share with those folks the ideas of veganism as well. It was a whole different crowd, people who were much more, I guess, you know, very more fringe people, I guess you'd say. Not all, but a lot of them were like that. And, and the other thing that was wonderful about being in Perth was that I think it was the second day there, my stay coincided with, if you've heard about it, the large rally that they had all over Australia, but especially in Perth, because in Perth, I guess the governor or whatever he is of Western Australia had passed a law, and they were killing sharks because they're afraid that they might attack people. And there were 6,000 people showed up on the beach in Perth, and I was there. I was among the 6,000. I think it was on a Saturday morning, and it was just great to see that many people and all these speeches talking about how we have to protect animals and we're not the superior species on the planet. We shouldn't act so terribly and kill these poor animals that are just living their lives. And so it was just great to see so many people getting out there, and all kinds of people, families and old people and young people and, of course, surfers and all kinds of people there to protect the sharks. So that was Perth, and it was terrific. And then I flew across the country. And Gypsy, I just want to thank you so much for the fantastic hospitality and the great efforts you made. And then all the way along, this entire tour was organized by Carolyn Bailey, who is the founder of AR Zone. Some of you are familiar with ARZone.net. If you're not, I highly recommend just go to ARZone.net. It's totally free. They interview all the people in the animal rights movement. Everyone's been interviewed by AR Zone, I think, at some point in their lives. And it's done by Carolyn Bailey. She's just a wonderful vegan activist. And so she took it on herself as a volunteer to organize the entire tour and worked so hard setting things up, working with Gypsy Wolf and also working with Natasha and Luca, who are also OP Stats facilitators. So at the very beginning, we had Gypsy Wolf at the very end. The last two lectures I gave were in the Melbourne, as they say, Melbourne area. And so Natasha and Luca set those up and also worked with Carolyn Bailey, and it was so great to meet them also, and also to meet Gypsy Wolf. It's great to meet the actual people who are in the World Peace Diet circle and have gone through the World Peace Diet Mastery Program and facilitator training and are really doing such great work to bring the vegan message to the world. But anyway, I gave a lecture in up in Townsville, which is in the far north, and that went well. It was just, it's a small kind of cattle town, so you know, it wasn't so many people, but it went well. And then down to Brisbane, and then I met Madeline. She flew in from California, and then we just did a whole bunch of lectures, and these went really well. I was just very touched to see so many vegan activists coming out, setting up these, you know, renting the venues, doing the publicity, and up in the, you know, north of Brisbane in the Sun Coast in Queensland, and then in Toowoomba, which is a couple hours inland in the cattle country. They had a great turnout there. And then in Brisbane itself, and then we went to Canberra and Sydney and gave lectures in those cities, and then we flew down to Hobart in Tasmania. Gypsy had helped set that up. Met some wonderful people in Tasmania. We went to a farmed animal sanctuary called Brightside, run by a woman named Emma. She has 350 animals there. Very interesting place. 100 of them are dogs that she is continually rehoming. Any dog who's going to be killed, she'll take, basically, instead of having them killed in the local shelters, and then she'll find a home. And they're really good at that. And plus, they had lots of chickens and pigs and cows and turkeys and so forth, and some others, some camels. And so it was really interesting to meet the people there and to talk to them and eat lunch together and speak in Tasmania. And then from there to Melbourne, they call it Melbourne. I can't say, I mean, if I say Melbourne, they think I'm totally crazy. And we were able to stay with Phil Wallen, if you know Philip Wallen and his wife Trix. We stayed in their beautiful home for 4 or 5 days. He's a world-famous activist, a former Citibank vice president, very wealthy fellow. Who has created a place called Kindness House. We got a full tour of Kindness House, which is an entire city block in Melbourne, where they have just basically taken everything out and built in offices. And I think there's something like 200 nonprofit groups in there that have their offices. He just provides them free office space, free phone lines, free computer access, free utility. Everything's free. and they just are in there, and they can, and you know, Greenpeace and WikiLeaks, all kinds of animal protection organizations, environmental protection organizations, orphan protection organizations, and so forth, from all over Australia, as well as India and Southeast Asia. It's really quite inspiring, and we got a big tour of that from them. And the events in Melbourne area went enormously well as well. And so a big, huge thank you to Natasha and Luca. They took us also down to see the little penguins. We had one free day, and we saw the penguins down at the southern part of Australia come in from the... It was really amazing to see them just sort of jumping out of the water at dusk, at night. It was really dark, actually. And after they'd been in the water and tired, and they go in at like 6 in the morning and come out at 8 o'clock at night, and come just walking back up in like a parade, like in groups, and we get they just ignore people. I was literally 3 or 4 feet away from them, you know, and they just come walking by and go to their nests and embrace each other and call to each other. It was amazing to just see these little beings and to see how the infinite spirit of love, the divine power that supports all life here, is just guiding everything, you know, in many ways. I mean, these animals just are so tuned in to each other and to what they're doing, and it was really great to sort of not only talk about veganism so much, but actually to be with the animals there. And we also, besides the wildlife and seeing a lot of wildlife, we were so lucky we could actually see koalas in the wild. You have to have really sharp eyes, but I saw one up in a tree. They just kind of hang out up there. And we saw kangaroos and wallabies quite a bit in the wild, as well as we actually saw a platypus in the wild, which is really hard, but we were very lucky outside Canberra to go to an area like a state park, basically, and we looked around and we stayed for a little while at a place where, sure enough, I saw a platypus. They're beautiful little creatures. So, and we also went to a big animal sanctuary in outside Melbourne, it's very famous. It's called Edgar's Mission, run by a woman named Pam, the lady with a cap, she's known as. And again, they had about 250 animals there that they've rescued. That's the big one in Australia, kind of like the farm sanctuary in the United States. And she's a big fan of the World Peace Diet and has read it and is promoting it also. So it was great to see her and meet them. And then we flew here. 2 days ago, a day before yesterday. No, was it yesterday? I guess I flew yesterday. Actually, you flew here yesterday. No, day before yesterday, sorry. And into Christchurch from Melbourne, and we had our first lecture last night. It went very well. It wasn't so many people. We had about 50 people in Christchurch. It looks like we're going to have closer to 100 people here tonight in Wellington, and then we've got about 6 more lectures here over the next 6 days, and then we fly back to San Francisco. So the events in Australia went really well. We had very often, over 200, between 1 and 200, or more than 200 sometimes, people at the lectures, which I think is really good for Australia. And in general, we did a lot of, radio interviews and print interviews, and we've got a TV interview here in New Zealand coming up as well, a national TV. So I think it's been a wonderful success, and it's been great just to work with so many different people and to see them, you know, be in their homes and see how they live their lives. And I think all of us, I think the more we can open up to creating communities of spreading the vegan message, however that is, and wherever we live, I notice a lot of, in these local areas, not only in Taiwan but also in Australia, also in New Zealand, a lot of these communities, like in Christchurch, they were telling me they have about 6 or 7 different vegan groups. You know, they have meetup groups. They have groups that promote veganism in the schools. They have groups that promote veganism just various ways. She was explaining to me these different groups they have. And so I think the more we can network and create educational opportunities to support teachers, to support churches, to support the religious establishment, and to create annual Veg Fest kind of activities, as well as, of course, book study groups, another great way to help spread the message. We create the foundation for this message to spread, and I've gotten quite a few people tell me that, either directly or indirectly, that they have gone vegan because of coming to either Taiwan or Australia, and New Zealand's just starting. So It's really been wonderful to feel all the support from all of you who have gone through in some way reading the World Peace Diet and are spreading the message in your own way. And I love to realize that, you know, it's not just me and or me and Madeline alone sort of just out here. We couldn't do this without the wonderful support of so many people who also have a similar passion to create a better world for our children, for ourselves, for animals, for future generations. And I think as we work on that together, not only do we not really have a rewarding time, it doesn't mean that the pain and despair, in a sense, or the excruciating thoughts that we maybe sometimes have about the violence that these that animals are routinely enduring. But I think it's also good to remember that there are a lot of positive experiences that we can have with each other as we spread this message to others. And as we do it in that way, we bring more people on board. And so that's been the main theme, I think, for me, as it has emerged over the last month, is that the key to everything is to embody veganism, not just to try to win other people over by being a better arguer, you know, arguing well and giving them all the facts. I think it's very important to be confident in the facts, you know, confident in the underlying ideas that we can be healthy and nutritionally on a plant-based diet that is better for the earth and ourselves and so forth, and be able to address all the excuses and rationalizations that people have so that we're confident. But I think at a deeper level, that we are actively doing the best we can to embody what veganism is in all of our relationships with other people. So I think I better stop there. I really kind of promised the people here in Wellington that we're staying with that I would not go more than an hour because we have to get going to pick up some people and then get over to the venue for the lecture here tonight. So that means we only have about 15 minutes left. So please press *6. Am I right about that? I think it's *6 say something if you have a question. I'd also like to ask perhaps Marlene, if you're on the call, I heard through the grapevine that you would like to share something and you maybe have some questions. We are, by the way, going to be going in a couple of days up to northern New Zealand where there's one of the only vegan communities. I went vegan because of living in a vegan community twice, the farm in Tennessee and then later Sungwangsa Zen Temple in South Korea. And there aren't many vegan communities, really, that you know that are substantial, but Gentle World is a vegan community that's based in the Big Island of Australia, of Hawaii, and then on the northern part of New Zealand. Half the year they're in Hawaii and half the year they're in New Zealand. So now, which is the summer in New Zealand, they're up here. And so we're going to be visiting them, and they're putting on looks like what's going to be a large lecture event up in on the North Island. So I don't see anybody pressing *6. Doesn't anybody have a question or a comment? Or Marlene, do you or anybody else? Because if not, I'm going to ask if Lily would like to say something, because I want to definitely hear from Lily, too. Lily's been a wonderful she's doing the Sunday night World Peace Diet Sunday, which is a great thing. Okay, here's Marlene. Marlene, you're there. Go ahead and speak. I think I can maybe hear you.
Hi, Will. Hi, Tara.
Oh, good. Yes, yeah. Tara's here with us too, and a whole bunch of other people. Marlene, I would love to hear what you've been up to. You know, I've known you now for probably a couple of years. We first met in Western Massachusetts, and I remember that you have your own actual animal sanctuary there for rescued animals. You're also a wonderful writer, and you're part of the World Peace Writers. Do you want to share something with the folks on the call today?
Yes, thank you, Will, and thank you, Tara. And it's great to hear about all your success, and I look forward to that spreading worldwide.
Yeah, it's not my success. I think it's the success for the animals, hopefully, but thank you. I really appreciate your idea. Thanks.
Yes. And I'm excited to be part of the World Peace Writers Collective at worldpeacewriters.org, and I feel that we're doing the same thing of helping with the interconnections to spread the message and share the information. And so I love your poem that you added to our site with the I Am the Vegan Activist.
Right.
Yes, and
great.
Madeline's, all her three contributions are great. They're short and sweet. I love that. Tara has been so helpful with profound and practical information. And, of course, Stefan and Veronique, both very funny, very honest, very intelligent, very evolved. And it was great to have Daphne with her connection with her environmental work with the Green Party.
Mm.
And Daphne has organized a vegan talk with Nina, the World Peace Diet facilitator, Nina Vecchi from Massachusetts,
right,
at the Unitarian Universalist Church. So I was excited about that, as well as Judy's article for the February issue. She is a package of compassion.
Really? Well, that's great. So is she, Nina, are they going to be at one of the Unitarian churches in Massachusetts then?
Probably. Yes, this Sunday, February 23rd.
That's great. I love seeing people going into the churches. I really think that's a fantastic idea.
Yes.
Great. So so I don't know if everybody knows about World Peace Diet, excuse me, World Peace Writers. Can you say a little bit more about like what the website is or just where people can go if they want to see all these things?
Yes. It is a variety of articles, and we all have our unique voice, our own style. I love to link to many organizations and music as well, and anyone can make comments as well as read the articles and contribute.
Great. So you basically, anyone who's listening, if they have an article that they that has to do with basically with veganism, I guess, and the philosophy and practice of compassion and world peace and so forth, we'd love to have participation on the website then.
Yes. Thank you.
Great. All right. Well, thanks so much for sharing, Marlene. It's so good to hear from you, and I really loved meeting you, of course. Anyone else have something they would like to share? As I'm not sure if Lily is still on the phone. Lily, if you'd like to share anything, please feel free. Press star 6. Oh, actually, I can unmute. Maybe I'll just unmute Lily. Okay.
Hi, Will. Yes, of course I'm on the call. Oh, my God. This is my life's blood, the World Peace Diet. I've lived for the World Peace Diet for the last 7 years. I wish I could say I have done more, but I think with this new activism called the World Peace Diet Sunday Phone Bridge and the number, in fact, I'll be happy to give it out. I'm very disorganized. One of these days I'm going to get organized, but I'm doing the best I can, and I love what's happening on this phone bridge. A lot of lively conversation and people going vegan because of it, and that's really the only thing that I care about, really, in my life today. I don't want to take up space on the planet without spreading the message. So that's what I'm doing, and that's my life today. I'm really a new vegan activist. I was a vegan. I've been a vegan for 7 years because of the World Peace Diet, but I'm just learning how to be a vegan activist and to really spread the message every day with whomever I come into contact. And I am in Southern California right now, so I'm trying to put out flyers so that people in Southern California will be able to get the word, because this is the hardest nut to crack, the USA. I'm so thrilled with what you had to say about Taiwan. It brought tears to my eyes. I'm so grateful.
Yeah.
I am so grateful that's happening, and I know that this is the toughest of them all, because we're run by corporate America, and
right,
we just that a lot of vegan restaurants here. Let me quickly give the, I know you want to stop at 7 o'clock, so let me just quickly get the number and the PIN code for people. Please spread the word. It's a great tool of activism. People have been coming aboard. I mean, there's not a huge amount yet, but every time there's 5 or 6 new ones. And so they're looking. And I'm grateful for that. Hold on 1 second, and I'm
sure.
I'm just watching my little vegan dogs. And we had 2 weeks ago we had Eric Wiseman, who put together Evolution Diet Pet Food, and he gave a wonderful talk, and people asked for his number, how to be vegan and give their animals vegan pet food. So I'm really, really happy that he came on. He's going to come on more often, and he's going to bring other people with him to the World Peace Diet Study Group. The World Peace Diet Study Group has grown me up. I mean, I was a quiet little vegan in the country talking to who I could, but today it's a different, I just want to learn from people. I want to learn how to be a really effective activist. So and get to the most people I possibly can.
Right.
So I'm doing it through the phone, but I'm also doing it person to person. 712-432-3900 is the number. 712-432-3900. And the PIN code is 568-364-pound. Again, 568-364-pound. And feel free to give that number to anyone in the world. We do have people calling in from Skype, from Australia and England. And it's a small group, but there is a small core now that are willing to do this, forever, until they're gone. I have a small core of people that if I can't make it for the call for any reason whatsoever, I have people now who will take over the call.
Wow, that's
so
great. That's fantastic.
Yeah, it's a dream come true, and I love it. All I want to do is be immersed in, I'm a student of the World Peace Diet. I'm on my fourth reading, and the fifth reading is the actual study group, and I also play your 13.5-hour CD all day long, and I have to tell you, well, I play it all day long the day before I do a study group because I want to be really familiar with the material before we go to the next lesson. And I want to tell you that my dogs are used to hearing your voice, so yesterday I had to leave them alone for a few hours, and I left them, they're crate trained, and I put on your CD, and there wasn't a peep out of them. You babysat my dogs yesterday. I just want you to know that, Will. And you know my dogs. They're vegan. They're veggie dogs. They've been vegan now. The 8-year-old has been vegan 7 years, and the 7-year-old has been vegan all his life. So.
Wow. Well, thanks so much, Lee. We have to wrap it up. I love hearing this. Everybody, just remember that. If you go to worldpeacediet.org, there's a link there and to the Sunday evening study group, and it's the actual direct link is worldpeacediet.org/Sunday.
It's 5 p.m. Well, it's 5 p.m. Western time, 8 p.m. Eastern time.
Right, every Sunday.
So it's 8 p.m. Eastern time, so I just didn't give that. Okay.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Great, Lily. All right, well, give our love to everyone to Jim and everybody on the call on Sunday, and we'll be down here somewhere down under, but if there's any chance, we'll look forward to joining you guys sometimes, too. It's great what you're doing. Really
thank you.
It.
Thank you.
Great.
Thank
all right.
Yeah.
Talk to you later. Yeah. Bye-bye.
Thank you.
All right.
Bye-bye.
So, the only other thing, I guess, is if there's anyone else who really wants to say something, please do. I think we have here Tara. Are you? I think I've just, hopefully I muted you at this point. Are you there?
Hi, Will. Hi, Madeline.
Oh, good. Yes, hi.
Hi. Your reception is very, very clear.
Oh, good.
I just wanted to say that I attended Lily's class. I've only been to one, her call, her book group, and it's really something very special going on there. It's not like I've really ever experienced in another book club or book group. The people are so genuinely interested and so heart-centered. It's a really beautiful group. So even if you can only join in once or twice, make sure that you get the opportunity to call in on Sunday at 5. That's all I wanted to say.
Well, thanks, Tara. I appreciate that. Yeah, that's great to get your feedback. Okay, great. Thanks.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So, and if anyone else, we're down to just a few minutes left here. And press star 6 if you'd like to say anything. I want to begin to wrap it up here. I feel so blessed to be able to be part of this movement. I think that's really important. I think there's huge amounts to learn. I'm learning a lot being in Australia and New Zealand about other ways that people do animal agriculture. Some things are worse here. Some things are better. It's all terrible, but, I mean, it's sort of interesting to hear some of the issues, the local issues. Like here in Australia, the big thing is live export, the fact that they're exporting sheep alive and then being killed. They arrive in horrible condition, usually in somewhere in the Middle East or Indonesia, to be live slaughtered. And it's quite interesting to learn from local activists about what works better. I think I'll save that for another call, though, because we've talked about a lot already tonight. But I appreciate everyone. I really want to encourage you, please, to if you have a chance. And to look over, I hope you do, the resources, the February resources for this month. And I'm just calling them up right now. I love this saying by Nikola Tesla, the great physicist and inventor. It shows, and he was considered one of the great geniuses of all time, like Einstein. And it's very interesting to see how he also wrote and thought deeply about the cruelty to animals. And if you haven't already read my short article I wrote summarizing my experience in Taiwan, that's there. This lecture in Perth. There's actually going to be we're going to be posting probably today or tomorrow on the website. It'll go up on Facebook. We have a World Peace Side Facebook group. We'll have it there. The entire 2-hour lecture I gave in Perth, if you'd like to just sort of see how that went, that would be interesting, perhaps. And then another article that I wrote for the Shift Network, Compassion, the Hidden Key to Wellness, that went out to some huge number of people, like 80,000 people. I'm really glad that I was invited to write that, because that's a pretty strong vegan article going out to pretty much all non-vegans. And then another, this interview with Gina Silvestri, the interview with Team Earthling in Australia, some other articles about my Australian tour, and then also the fact that the new book that we're working on, which is really not, I'm just the editor of the book, but it's Circles of Compassion, about justice for animals and making the links between the abuse of animals and other forms of the other social issues. We've got some great writers coming together on that, and we were awarded a Pollination Project grant to help get that out. So there's an article about that, and then there's also a link to the crickets music that you just heard before the call, and if you want to find out more about that, you can go to that link. And some other articles on Taiwanese Buddhism, the intelligence of animals. A really interesting article by a pig farmer where he really says he thinks raising livestock is ethically wrong. So it's good to see something like that happening. Oh, a very important article, I think, by John McDougall about these two books that are selling a lot right now, Wheat Belly and Grain Brain, where they're sort of dissing wheat, saying how bad it is and so forth. And he thinks it's a scam, basically put on by the same meat, dairy, and egg industries to try to kind of the Dr. Atkins diet dressed up in new clothes. And so it's very interesting. And also about what's going on in Israel, some people are saying that Israel also is the other big bright light besides Taiwan in terms of veganism. And, of course, that's another place where the World Peace Diet is selling very well as well. And who knows, maybe we'll be going to Israel before too long. An interesting article that using sex to sell animal rights, in other words, like PETA does and so forth, doesn't seem to really be a good idea in terms of effectiveness. So that, a lot of people are saying that's an important research development, which perhaps it is. And then, let's see, there's a number of articles. I won't go through all the rest of these, but some very interesting things. I love that New York Magazine, which is a major magazine, is calling 2014 the year of the vegan. It's showing a lot of promise here. I think there's, you know, we're moving in the right direction. There's still enormous devastation happening to the environment and enormous problems we're having. The situation really is critical. There's no question about it. And the final article is about the black swans, which we see quite a bit here. I saw some of them in the wild a few times in Australia. And I think also some in New Zealand. So how they take care, feeding some fish. It was very cute. So I guess it's time to begin to wrap up here. And I want to thank all of you for joining us on the call this evening. We have, of course, the next call coming up will be, let me see here, we've got in March, the third Thursday. It will be March 20th. And we'll be back in California for that. I'll be doing some lecturing in California. And we're planning also on doing, I'll be speaking in Boulder, or Denver, I guess it is, and also in Cincinnati. And we got the rest of the year, we've got some other speaking engagements lined up, although I'll be doing some more work, I think, on some other projects. Please keep spreading the word about veganism, of course, the World Peace Diet Circle. We'd love to let people know about that. I want to thank Tara again for all of her help with that. We have our Veg Inspiration for the Day, which is free also, and the World Peace Diet. It's actually the Worldwide Prayer Circle for Animals, if you're familiar with that, circleofcompassion.org, where every day at noon we stop for a moment and we say prayers for animals. And it's just really been great to do that here in Australia and New Zealand and see the connection and the reaction, really, of people when we do that. So we have all these things going on. Of course, the Facilitator Training, the Mastery Program, if you have friends who might want to go into this more deeply, let them know. And I think it's time now, actually, for me to begin to wrap this up, because we have to go out and get ready for the next event. So just a quick second here. Madeline has arrived, and I'm going to let her just say hello to everybody. So here's Madeline.
Hello. Wow, from down under. All right. The tour is really fantastic, and we have quite a bit more vegans arriving into our world, which is just so great. We're very busy, and we're thinking of you, and yeah, I pass you on to Will again. Thank you.
Great. Okay. So that was Madeline. She's been really a huge help here with everything, and it's great to have a partner who's totally on board with the whole thing. And we're very honored to be able to spread the vegan message the way we've been able to do it here. So thank you all so much for your love and support, for your compassion for animals, for your living your lives as a model, as an example of kindness and compassion, and for questioning the routine violence and all of the official stories that are repeated in our society. And I'll send out some photographs that may be helpful and interesting when we have more time. It's been really a whirlwind here, like I say. We've done so many events. Almost every single day we've done one, sometimes two, or traveling. It's been hardly any time to do much on the computer. But we send our love to you, and we just close knowing that we are part of an awakening on this planet of human consciousness. As I was saying earlier, that we are seeing momentum continuing to increase, and there's so much to be done, but the most important thing, I think, really is to embody the feeling of gratitude for this precious life and have compassion for animals. And this whole thing was going when we got here, so we needn't feel the entire burden on our own shoulders. Just do the best we can and work with folks who are open to the message. It's much more effective than fighting with people who are not open to the message. I think that's an important element of effective advocacy as well. All right. Stay in touch, and much love to you all. Thank you so much. Thank you.